Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, February 22nd, 2019. Coming up this hour,
President Trump meets China's top negotiator.
The chances of a Brexit delay look increasingly likely.
SocGen draws up plans to cut thousands of jobs.
Shares of Kraft Heinz plunge after a $15 billion write-down.
And Ford reveals possible flaws to its emissions testing system.
A judge tightens a gag order on President Trump's advisor, Roger Stone. Plus, there will be a do-over in a U.S. House district election in North Carolina. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschke. Coming up in sports, good news for the Devils, not so for the Rangers and Isles. And the NBA's second half kicked off in Brooklyn.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. We are brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And we're seeing a modest lift to global stocks this morning, where it's 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 7.5 points this morning. Dow futures up 81. NASDAQ futures up 24. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. CAC in Paris up 0.3%. And the FTSE 100 up 0.25%. Nikkei 225 in Japan down 0.2%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong gained 0.7%. 10-year Treasury up 0.33. Yield 2.68%. Yield on the 2-year 2.52%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.25% or 15 cents to $57.11 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2%, down $2 to $13.25.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.13.40, and the yen, 110.84. John.
And we began with trade talks in Washington, where President Trump meets with China's top negotiator today. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports.
The president is trying to forge a preliminary deal before new tariffs kick in next week. The 2:30 meeting with Vice Premier Liu He would seem to signal progress. China says it will buy an additional $30 billion a year of U.S. products, including soybeans, corn, and wheat, but no word yet on progress of any structural issues. In the meantime, the FT is reporting that the two sides are also targeting a commercial dispute that involves Micron and Fujian Jinhua. And another measure that's thought to be discussed is PBOC approval for Visa and MasterCard to provide payment services in China. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. Meanwhile, Europe says it could clinch a new trade deal with the White House this year. EU Trade Commissioner Cecilia Malmström expects to start negotiations as soon as next month. In July, the U.S. and EU decided to put threatened U.S. auto tariffs on hold as they work toward reducing market barriers.
Optimism around U.S.-China trade talks helped lift stocks in Shanghai today, while equities in the rest of the Asia-Pacific were mixed. And Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has details from our Singapore bureau.
The MSCI Asia-Pacific Index was boosted by a surge in Chinese shares into the close, with the CSI 300 up by 2.3% ahead of the trade talks in Washington. The Chinext Index of small-cap stocks actually entered bull market territory. In Japan, though, the Nikkei closed lower by 0.2%, and there were losses in Singapore, Malaysia, and Indonesia as well. Australian assets shrugged off fears of a negative session after the country's treasurer and prime minister downplayed reports China was banning the nation's coal from its main port. Some coal stocks fell in Sydney, but the ASX 200 was up by 0.5%. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Salih, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Turning to Brexit now, it looks increasingly likely that the UK will seek to delay its divorce from the EU. Bloomberg's Ewan Potts joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Karen and John. Could Brexit be postponed? Bloomberg understands that the European Union now expects the UK to be forced to ask for a 3-month extension to its departure. That's if Prime Minister Theresa May gets her deal through the House of Commons and it's signed off at the EU summit at the end of March. Now, a so-called technical extension will give the British Parliament just enough time to pass Brexit laws, but it would avoid the need to take part in European elections in May. And that's something that both sides would prefer. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ewan, thanks a lot. And we're getting word of possible job cuts at one of France's biggest banks. Bloomberg News has learned Societe Generale is drawing up restructuring plans that could result in significant layoffs. Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo reports.
The bank could consider cutting thousands of jobs in its investment banking unit. Q4 was a bad quarter for SocGen. They also argued they could see more cost pressure. A lot of this pegged to regulation. I do want to say SocGen has declined to comment on this report.
Jobs in finance, trading, and human resources are at risk, though management is still weighing exactly where cuts will be made. Shares of SocGen are up 2% at Paris.
Back here in the U.S., shares of Kraft Heinz are plummeting, down 20% in early trading, after the company took a $15 billion write-down on some of its best-known brands. Bloomberg's Craig Giamona has more.
There's a lot of bad news in this report. The write-downs, that's a very big number to be writing down. They also missed on EPS, which, if you know anything about Kraft Heinz, the one thing that these guys do is keep profits strong. They cut costs. Sales growth has been kind of elusive for them, but to miss on profit, they're saying that costs were higher than they expected. So there's also an SEC subpoena in these results. They're basically saying they got a question from the SEC about their procurement. So this is a very, very bad news report for Kraft Heinz.
Earnings from Kraft Heinz missed even the lowest analyst estimate as core products were hurt by shifts in eating and shopping habits.
Stamps.com has seen its value nearly cut in half overnight. The company issued a profit forecast that's about half of the average estimate as it ends a crucial partnership with the U.S. Postal Service. Stamps.com shares down 47% in early trading.
Shares of Ford Motor are down just a third of a percent after the company revealed its emission testing system could be flawed. Bloomberg's Keith Naughton reports from Detroit.
Ford took great pains to say this does not involve defeat devices, the things that VW used in its diesel engines. Instead, this is a problem with the specifications of how they test for emissions for the Clean Air Act and for fuel economy. Just this week, they've reported it to the EPA and to the California Air Resources Board. But the EPA is saying there's not enough information here to take any action yet. More investigation needs to be conducted.
And Ford is hiring an outside firm to conduct an investigation into the matter, which could stretch into the summer. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. It is 5:07 on Wall Street. And let's get news from around the world this morning. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. A judge has imposed a full gag order on President Trump confidant Roger Stone as he awaits trial on charges of lying to Congress. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
The judge gave Stone a stinging reprimand over a photo of her that he posted online with what appeared to be crosshairs of a gun. She promised to throw him behind bars if he violates the gag order in any way, explaining that it would be foolhardy for her not to take action over the Instagram post and declaring that Stone could pose a danger to others in the case. The 66-year-old self-described dirty trickster had said the post was an egregious mistake and claimed the symbol was a logo, not crosshairs. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
North Carolina's Elections Board has ordered a new election in the nation's last undecided congressional race. The North Carolina State Board of Elections voted unanimously after reviewing evidence of absentee ballot fraud in the 9th District. In a stunning reversal, Republican candidate Mark Harris dropped his bid to be declared the winner.
I believe a new election should be called. It's become clear to me that the public's confidence in the 9th District seat general election has been undermined to an extent that a new election is warranted.
Harris held a slim lead over Democrat Dan McCready after the election in November, but the state refused to certify the election as allegations of ballot fraud began to surface. Lawyers for Jussie Smollett say the presumption of innocence was trampled on at the expense of Mr. Smollett by law enforcement. Chicago police arrested Smollett, accusing the Empire actor of paying two men to stage an attack against him. Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel says Smollett misled the public and investigators with his fake story.
At some point, somebody in the future who is a victim of an attack because of their sexual orientation, or a victim because of their faith, or a victim because of their race, will not be believed, but when they should be heard and trusted for what has happened to them. And this puts that at risk. And that, to me, is what is also upsetting.
Deportations of New York City's undocumented immigrants have soared, especially among individuals with no criminal records, since the beginning of President Donald Trump's administration. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:10 of Wall Street, and it's time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning, Rob Buschke.
Good morning, John. The second half of the NBA season kicked off, and for the Nets, they have the unenviable task of guarding one of the best point guards in the game, Damian Lillard, and his Portland Trail Blazers. Six Blazers scored in double figures en route to a 113-99 win at Barclays Center. Nets coach Kenny Atkinson.
Tough time rebounded tonight, and I said pregame, that's one of the things we're focused on, so I'm disappointed that, you know, there was no carryover from kind of the emphasis at the All-Star break.
Nets fall back to 500. Ed Davis paced Brooklyn with a double-double. Lakers rallied from 19 down to beat the Rockets, while the Bucks edged the Celtics and the Warriors snuck by the Kings. On the ice, the Devils blanked the Senators 4-0 at home thanks to 30 saves from Corey Schneider.
Yeah, you know, it's been a lot of fun just to play well again, get some wins, see our team win. Tonight's a tough night where, you know, a couple of guys out of the lineup late. You don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, this is awesome. It's great. Thank you, guys.
Rangers fell 4-1 at home to Minnesota, while the Islanders suffered a 4-3 overtime loss in Edmonton. Connor McDavid had the game winner. College basketball, just two ranked games. Number 2 Gonzaga expected to take over the top spot, pummeled Pepperdine, while number 7 Michigan snuck by at Minnesota. In spring training update, the Mets' Jed Lowry felt pain in his knee while swinging. He'll have an MRI.
Started ramping things up. Just felt it kind of backside of my head. I really started feeling it, you know, not too long ago. And so, one of those things, we got to get checked out. It was the high explosive stuff. I felt it for the first time.
Mets' first spring training game, Saturday against the Braves. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. John?
All right, thanks, Rob. And tune in tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports Show when we talk football. He's been an Ivy League quarterback, private equity analyst, and now he plays in the Alliance of American Football. We speak with Jack Hennigan at the Arizona Hotshots tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio, or download our Apple podcast on iTunes. This is Bloomberg. Well, it's a wall of worry. Do we keep climbing it? We'll have Mike Bell of J.P. Morgan Asset Management stopping by in just a moment to answer that question. S&P futures right now, 8 points higher. This is Bloomberg.
Global news, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are edging higher in Europe along with U.S. stock index futures after a mixed session in Asia as investors await results from top-level trade talks between the U.S. and China. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 9 points this morning. Dow futures up 95. NASDAQ futures up 29. The DAX in Germany is up 0.33%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.68%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.52%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 10 cents to $57.06 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.25% or $3 to $13.24.70 an ounce. The euro, $1.1336, and the yen, 110.89. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. A federal judge has tightened the gag order on President Trump's longtime friend, Roger Stone. The order from Judge Amy Berman Jackson comes after Stone posted a picture of her online alongside what looks like the crosshairs of a rifle scope. Stone has been indicted on several counts, including obstruction of justice. North Carolina's Elections Board has ordered a new election in the nation's last undecided congressional race. After reviewing evidence of absentee ballot fraud in the 9th District general election, the board voted to hold a new one. In the NBA, the Nets lost along with the Celtics. The Warriors won. In the NHL, the Islanders lost in overtime to the Oilers. The Rangers lost. The Devils won along with the Capitals. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Interactive Brokers Studios. I'm John Tucker. The S&P 500 is up over 10% since the start of the year. Maybe it's time to sell in February and go away. Michael Bell is our first guest, global market strategist at J.P. Morgan Asset Management, joining us from London this morning. I bet you're tempted to take the rest of the year off, Mike.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it? I mean, look, when I think of the market rally we've seen so far, to be honest, we're basically making up the losses that we saw in Q4 last year. So even though it seems like a very strong start to the year, investors who obviously were invested for most of last year are still not quite back up to the levels that they were at in September.
So I
think that the market was probably a little bit too worried in December. It was worried about the Fed continuing to hike interest rates and the fact that you could have had an escalation in the trade war. I would say now, however, the market has moved to not being that worried about either of those things. And while I think it was wrong to worry about both of them, I also think it's wrong to worry about neither of them.
All right, so where do we go from here?
Well, I mean, I guess that's the trillion-dollar question. But ultimately, I think that the risks have risen now that markets have moved to price out some of the bad news. So I think that it makes sense to have a more neutral allocation to equities at this stage in the cycle. We're approaching the 10th birthday of this stock market rally. And I think that with such a low unemployment rate, really what's going to be key for markets is Fed policy. So are the Fed going to stay on hold at 2.5% for the next 5 years, which is what the market's pricing? Or is there a risk that the Fed reacts to a pickup in inflation, which could come through, and has to tighten monetary policy further? I think if that happened, the market wouldn't like it. That's probably the risk that I worry about most.
All right. Well, it's sort of like waiting for Godot, waiting for inflation to show up. We've seen some signs of it, but is it really worrisome at this point?
No, I guess that's the thing that markets have become more relaxed about. When you look at core PCE inflation, it's at relatively subdued levels. What's interesting is when you look at wage growth, particularly wage growth for the lower paid jobs, that's actually picked up pretty meaningfully. So the notion that low unemployment doesn't cause an acceleration in wage growth, I think that argument doesn't really hold water. I think you are seeing an acceleration in wage growth. Then, so the next leg of the argument is, well, does an acceleration in wage growth feed through into a pickup in inflation? And clearly the answer to that is, if so, then quite slowly at the moment. But I think that is the big debate that will dominate markets over the next year or two is, does the acceleration in wage growth feed through to inflation? If it does, then the market's not pricing that, and I think it's a risk. If not, well, then that's priced into the market at the moment, and it would allow the Fed to keep policy reasonably loose, or at least at these levels, and that would be supportive for risk assets. As I said, I think that there's a slightly higher risk than the market's pricing that you could start to see that transfer into inflation, and that the Fed might have to put rates up, not dramatically higher, but faster than the market is expecting.
The rest of the world, as far as equities go, has, you could argue, a valuation advantage. Does the rest of the world have an earnings advantage over the U.S.?
Well, it's interesting. If you look at earnings estimates for, say, Europe versus the U.S. over the next couple of years, so for 2019 and 2020 included, actually, you've got 5% earnings growth expected from the U.S. for 2019, but then about 11% earnings growth for 20. In Europe, you've got about 7% earnings growth expected for 2019, and then about 9% for 2020. So over the two-year period, both markets are expecting about 16% earnings growth. So I don't think there's actually a significant difference in the expectations for earnings for those two economies over the next couple of years. What I would say, though, is I think there's a risk that that 16% earnings growth number for both Europe and the U.S. over the next couple of years is still too high.
Okay, so you've raised more cash, it sounds like. Is that right?
Well, actually, I think that at this stage in the cycle, some duration, say some U.S. treasuries at the sort of mid to long end part of the curve, makes sense. It's possible that bond yields could drift a bit higher if I'm right that inflation picks up a little bit more and that the Fed has to tighten a bit more. So as a short-term trade, that might not work particularly well. But as a more medium-term trade, I think it does hopefully provide some diversification to the equity part of the portfolio. And I think it's about balancing it, because if eventually the Fed tightens into restrictive territory and it causes a slowdown, then, of course, eventually they'll have to cut. And at that point, some duration would work out.
Michael Bell, the global market strategist at J.P. Morgan Asset Management. And ahead of the open on Wall Street, S&P futures right now are 8 points higher. The Dow futures of 94. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And a programming note, tune in to our new weekend edition of Bloomberg Daybreak, where we set you up for the coming week on Wall Street. Listen in tomorrow at 5 a.m., again at 4 p.m., and Sunday mornings at 9. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by Eisner Ampert. The Qualified Opportunity Zone program provides significant tax benefits. To learn more, download a guide for real estate investors at EisnerAmpert.com/QOFbook.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are rising ahead as top-level trade talks come to a close in Washington. President Trump is set to meet China's top trade negotiator this afternoon. Bloomberg's Karen Lee has the latest from Beijing.
Today's meeting will cap the latest round of talks, and it does signal optimism that the talks are at least making enough progress to warrant a face-to-face meeting of this level. That said, nothing concrete has come from the last rounds besides a lot of optimistic statements from both sides, including Donald Trump, but really with nothing to hold on to.
And President Trump's meeting with Chinese Vice Premier Liu He is scheduled for 2:30 p.m. Wall Street time.
Meanwhile, EU Trade Commissioner Cecilia Malmström says Europe could reach a trade deal with the Trump administration this year.
Two EU officials say the European Union expects Prime Minister Theresa May to request a 3-month delay to Brexit.
Business confidence in Germany fell to the lowest level in 4 years.
Sources say Societe Generale is drawing up plans to cut jobs at its investment bank. SocGen is also looking for a partner for its cash equity business to offset increasing cost pressure from regulation.
Ford Motor has alerted federal regulators there could be a problem with its emissions testing. We get the story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The announcement comes months after employees reported potential flaws in the way the company certifies its model's fuel economy ratings. Ford said it has hired an outside firm to investigate road load specifications used in its testing. Ford said the probe does not involve looking for defeat devices, which Volkswagen used in the diesel emissions scandal that has cost the company tens of billions of dollars. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. Shares of Kraft Heinz down more than 20% this morning. The packaged food company wrote down the value of some of its best-known brands by more than $15 billion.
And shares of Stamps.com plunging by almost 50%. The company forecast full-year profit well short of estimates after ending a critical partnership with the U.S. Postal Service.
S&P futures up 9.5 points, Dow futures up 99, Nasdaq futures up 29, and the 10-year Treasury up 2/32. The yield 2.68%, the euro $1.1335. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street. And let's get news from around the world this morning. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. A partial gag order has been tightened after a controversial Instagram post from President Trump advisor Roger Stone. Bloomberg's Nancy Lyons has the latest in the case.
Judge Amy Berman Jackson scolded Stone for his inflammatory post that included her photo alongside what appeared to be rifle scope crosshairs. She said it had a sinister message. Stone said he was heartfully sorry and admitted it was an egregious, stupid mistake. He said the image was actually a Celtic symbol, not crosshairs. The new gag order means Stone cannot do media interviews, cannot use social media to comment about his case. Jackson could have jailed Stone for failing to adhere to the earlier, less stringent gag order. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
The North Carolina Elections Board ordered a new vote in a U.S. House district because of evidence that the results in November were tainted by fraud. The ruling came during the board's hearing to investigate allegations of absentee voter fraud orchestrated by a political operative on GOP candidate Mark Harris's payroll. Harris held a 905-vote lead over Democrat Dan McCready in the unofficial tally. Lawyers for Jussie Smollett say the Chicago Police Department put on an organized law enforcement spectacle when its superintendent detailed its findings about the alleged attack on the Empire actor. Smollett is accused of staging the attack. Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel says Smollett misled the public.
What he said happened is not the character of our city or the people that make it up. Now, that said, we have our problems. We're going to work on solving them.
President Trump celebrated Black History Month at the White House.
Today we are here to honor the extraordinary contributions of African Americans to every aspect of American life, history, and culture.
President Trump and First Lady Melania hosted a reception last night. Oakland, California teachers go back to the picket lines for a second day today. The teachers union is calling for higher wages to address the higher cost of living.
3, 2, 1.
A SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket blasted off from Cape Canaveral Air Force Station, Florida, last night, carrying Israel's first lunar lander on a mission. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:36 on Wall Street, time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And here's Rob Bushka.
Good morning, John. The Nets started their second half hosting Portland and contained all-star point guard Damian Lillard, holding him to 13, only to see five others reach double figures, including former Nick Enes Kanter, who scored 18, as Portland down Brooklyn 113-99. Tonight, the Knicks host Minnesota at 7:30. Tough day on the ice for the local clubs. First, we'll start with the good news.
Shabbat has 13 goals, 33 assists on the season already. They score off the faceoff!
MSG on the call. New Jersey shut out Ottawa at home 4-0 thanks to 30 saves from Corey Schneider. Minnesota beat the Rangers 4-1 at the Garden, while the Islanders lost in overtime at Edmonton. Connor McDavid had the game winner. College basketball, scary times for Syracuse coach Jim Boeheim. Hours after his team's upset of Louisville, the 74-year-old icon hit a pedestrian on the interstate, killing the man. Syracuse Chief of Police Kenton Buckner.
Mr. Boeheim did exactly what we would expect him to do. He stopped. He attempted to render aid. I believe at some point that he even attempted to stop other cars that were coming over that crest from hitting the vehicle that was still there in the roadway. So he did exactly what we would ask him to do. He was cooperative during our investigation both last night and today, and he could not have been more cooperative.
Boeheim was not under the influence. Duke comes to town on Saturday. Second-ranked Gonzaga and number 7 Michigan, both winners on Thursday night. Baseball news, the Yankees open their spring training schedule Saturday with the Red Sox, the Mets on Saturday against Atlanta. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. John?
All right, Rob, thanks a lot. 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. It's a special double issue focusing on real estate. Also in the magazine this week, why automation hasn't turned out to be the job killer it was feared to be. Craig Torres wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
We keep hearing that machines are going to replace jobs, and yet last year we hired 2.6 million people, and we hired another 300,000 in January. So I just started asking questions.
And you could read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. And it's now 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. And let's check in with Bloomberg's John Metaxas. John, good morning to you.
Good morning, John. Residents of another Manhattan building have voted to remove the Trump name from their facade. 55% of the condo owners of 120 Riverside Boulevard voted for the removal, which was announced yesterday. Now, five of the six buildings with the Trump name in that far west side development by Mr. Trump have voted to remove his name since the president's election. President Trump could miss out on being on the 2020 ballot in New Jersey if he does not disclose his tax returns under a bill now advancing. The Democratic-led Senate passed legislation yesterday requiring presidential and vice presidential candidates to release 5 years of federal tax returns to appear on the state's ballot. Mr. Trump broke with tradition by refusing to release his income tax filings during the last campaign. The bill goes to the Democratic-led Assembly. If it passes, it would head to Democratic Governor Phil Murphy. Republican Governor Chris Christie previously had vetoed the legislation. And Yale New Haven Hospital has been named the best heart hospital in the state of Connecticut. The designation comes in a Reader's Digest article listing the top heart hospitals in every U.S. state. With the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report, I'm John Metaxas.
Thanks, John. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in now with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Podesk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about Tesla Model 3s arriving in China before a potential spike higher in tariffs.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, I'm talking about earnings from Kraft Heinz.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on how EU officials expect Theresa May to ask for a three-month Brexit delay.
I'm Patrice Sikora, and for WIOD in Miami, I'm reporting Norwegian Cruise Line's better-than-expected fourth-quarter results lifted its shares and those of its competitors.
I'm Andrew O'Day on WBZ in Boston. I'm reporting on another record year for profit and revenue at Fidelity.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. The founder of Pioneer Natural Resources has returned to run the shale driller.
And those are just some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the globe. S&P futures right now, 9 points higher. This is Bloomberg. And the Tri-State Business Report was brought to you by Virgin Atlantic. Over 300 hours of onboard entertainment, flatbeds for napping and afternoon tea. Daily nonstop flights in the UK in partnership with Delta Airlines.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are moving higher in Europe along with U.S. stock index futures after a mixed session in Asia. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 9.5 points. Dow futures up 102. NASDAQ futures up 30. DAX in Germany's up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32. Yield 2.68%. Yield on the 2-year is at 2.52%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.3% or 17 cents to $57.13 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2% or $2.90 to $13.24.90 an ounce. The euro, $1.1340. The yen, 110.86. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a judge warned President Trump advisor Roger Stone that he will find himself in a federal lockup unless he stays off social media and stops communicating with the media about his criminal case. Election officials in North Carolina ordered a new vote in the 9th Congressional District. It comes after 4 days of hearings on alleged absentee ballots tampering by a political operative working for Republican candidate Mark Harris. In the NBA, the Nets lost along with the Celtics. The Warriors won. NHL action, the Islanders lost in overtime to the Oilers. The Rangers lost. The Devils won along with the Capitals. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is now 5:48 on Wall Street. And it's time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. And we're joined live now by Jennifer Ryan, the Bloomberg Opinion Editor in our London Bureau. Jen, good morning to you. How's this for another decline just in the pre-market, down 20% for shares of Kraft Heinz? Kraft Heinz financial recipe turning sour. They've delivered a triple whammy. Tell us about it.
So we're looking at a $15.4 billion write-down, an SEC subpoena, and a cut to the quarterly dividend. So, you know, what happened? Well, Tara LaChapelle is taking a look at this, and she says that part of this is the old guards of the supermarket aisle struggling to remain relevant with consumers who are looking for fresher and less processed food. That's a trend that's been around for a while, but the write-down at Kraft also might suggest that there's been some underinvestment in the brands. As for the SEC probe, the disclosure doesn't necessarily signal any wrongdoing or the need for significant financial revisions, but LaChapelle's point is this does further sully the image of a company that already hasn't been sitting well with some investors.
Okay, was there something wrong with the strategy?
Well, let's think about what was the strategy. Debt-driven acquisitions and ruthless cost-cutting, and the idea is to juice earnings growth and deliver margins that far surpass peers, and that makes up for some shortfalls in revenue and internal investment. But this is what's been captivating shareholders with the stock, and, you know, it helped that when Kraft and Heinz merged in 2015, Warren Buffett helped orchestrate the deal, and Berkshire Hathaway was remaining the biggest owner.
Okay, so what is next for Kraft Heinz, then?
So the company has said it was committed to refreshing its brands and introducing new products. And, you know, it looked like management was telling people yesterday that it had been making progress here. But under the strategy, the easiest way out of a mess is to just do another mega merger. You know, you've got your formula, borrow/cross juice earnings. But LaChapelle says that's what it looks like the company is planning to do, because the CEO has cited industry consolidation as one of his top objectives for the year. But the question is, at this point, who would want to sell to Kraft Heinz now?
I'm not sure the last time I had an Oscar Mayer wiener, but anyway. Let's move on to our next story. The ECB has policymakers, not superheroes. This is a column from Ferdinando Gugliano. He says we should all manage our expectations for the ECB. What's he talking about here?
At the start of the week, we saw a couple of ECB policymakers making some dovish noises and suggesting that policymakers were set to change their tune at their meeting in March. And this came in for a little bit of criticism because the ECB looks certainly out of step with a lot of the world's other major central banks who had already taken the lead in shifting to a more dovish approach themselves. But now this got taken a step further with the minutes of the latest governing council meeting getting published, showing not just that there's concern about the economic outlook, but a lack of clarity on what the next step should be, because Giuliano's point is that the economic picture in Europe is objectively confusing.
What exactly makes Europe the land of confusion for economists, though?
You've got growth coming down, but if you look across the nations in the bloc, it's not coming down evenly everywhere. On top of that, the latest batch of economic data is confusing. For example, you've got German PMI showing a contraction in manufacturing and accelerating growth in services. And then, of course, the global trade tensions are proving a serious drag on exports, but it's not clear how you're going to resolve it. And it all comes down to what the mercurial President Trump and the secretive Xi Jinping decide to negotiate.
What needs to happen to get economies back on track? Give me 10 seconds on that one, if you can.
In 10 seconds, politicians need to step up and do their job and tackle issues such as excessive debt and slower growth. This is not something that monetary authorities can really do, and it's a matter of everyone rethinking who should be taking responsibility here, and it's not going to be the case that policymakers from central banks can continue to play the outsized role that they have been doing.
You've solved all their problems in 15 seconds. Jen Ryan, opinion editor in our London bureau. You can read more on this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion and on the Bloomberg terminal by typing OPIN Go. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's 5:53 on Wall Street. One of our top stories this morning, sources tell Bloomberg Societe Generale is weighing restructuring plans that could result in significant layoffs. Shares of SocGen are up nearly 2% on the news. Let's get more in the details now. For that, we turn to Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Matt Miller.
SocGen, drawing up plans to cut hundreds or even possibly thousands of jobs at its investment bank. I want to get the details on this developing story for you. For that, we go to Bloomberg's European finance editor, Ross Larson. Ross, what do we know so far?
The bank has already said that they have a general idea of cutting about 500 million euros of annual cost, and that's been laid out publicly. What we're hearing is where they're looking at the investment bank. The amount, what we're hearing from them, is still being decided exactly where, exactly how much, but we have warnings from them and from labor unions as well that It's going to be deep. It's going to be a large number. You know, the coming weeks should give us more clarity on that.
Where are these job cuts going to come from? Are we talking about highly paid investment bankers, or are we talking about their support staff that are going to have to kind of worry about livelihoods going forward?
It sounds like more of the latter at this point, what we're hearing. Again, we're talking like decisions have not really been firmly made, but we're hearing much more support staff, back office, HR, that kind of thing. Like many banks, they're looking for where to cut. But so far, we don't hear directly that it's going to be your big money makers, investment bankers at this stage.
And that's Bloomberg's European finance editor Ross Larson and Daybreak Europe anchor Matt Miller on word that Societe Generale is drawing up plans to cut hundreds or even thousands of jobs at its investment bank. The news is sending shares of SocGen higher. They're up nearly 2% in Paris. John.
And it's 5:55 of Wall Street. Time now for our Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podesk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services has completed a proposed regulation to eliminate a program providing work permits to the spouses of some H-1B skilled guest workers. The Trump administration is looking for ways to help preserve old health plans that don't comply with Obamacare requirements like covering pre-existing conditions. And Labor Secretary Alexander Acosta and other prosecutors violated the law in a plea deal with Miami hedge fund manager Jeffrey Epstein on teen sex trafficking charges. A judge ruled they improperly concealed the deal from Epstein's alleged victims.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now in other legal news, we turn to a video that went viral last month. You'll recall the 16-year-old student wearing a Make America Great Again hat facing down a Native American elder at the Lincoln Memorial. Now that student, Nick Sandman, is suing the Washington Post for the way it covered the encounter. For more on the story, we get analysis from UCLA law professor Eugene Valluck.
The plaintiff is suing, claiming that the Washington Post misreported what was going on in a way that damaged his reputation. He points to a whole bunch of different things that he says the Post incorrectly said. So, for example, he says that the Post talked about how they were supposedly swarming, he and his fellow students were supposedly swarming Nathan Phillips, the American Indian activist, supposedly blocking his exit. The difficulty is that a considerable number of things that are alleged in the complaint are likely going to be seen as matters of opinion. So, for example, swarm, you know, that's an evaluative judgment, whether somebody is swarming someone or coming up to someone or just being around someone in a large group. That's something that is generally going to be seen as a matter of opinion. Likewise, there is a claim that the Washington Post article suggested that Sandman's behavior, quote, violated the fundamental standards of his religious community and violated the policies of his school such that he should be expelled, close quote. Even to the extent that that article might have conveyed that message, that is also pretty clearly a matter of opinion. What violates fundamental standards of a religious community and certainly for what somebody should be expelled, those are judgments of opinion.
And as analysis from UCLA law professor Eugene Volokh, you can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. Find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information, Karen.
And futures are higher. John, S&P futures up 11 points. Dow futures up 115 and NASDAQ futures up 36, and Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.